You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, December 9th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, You and Your Sword.
Take your Bible, go back, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 36, where the Bible says, And he said unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, likewise his scrip. He hath no sword. Now watch what it says, Let him sell his garment and buy one. The Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I believe it's very important in our day and time that we know how to use our Bible, how to use our sword. And so I want to speak this morning on you and your sword. It was George Washington, the President of the United States, our first president, said this, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Robert E. Lee said this, in all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. Abraham Lincoln said this, all things desirable to men are contained in the Bible. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, no one ever outgrows Scripture, the book, seems to widen and deepen with each passing year. D.L. Moody said this, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Theodore Roosevelt said, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than any college education could ever begin to offer. Woodrow Wilson said this, I'm sorry for men who do not read the Bible every day. I wonder why they deprive themselves of such strength and pleasure. The Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 8, the Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 35, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 4, the Bible says, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the word of God is very important. The Word of God can help you to be able to make wise choices. The Word of God can help you to be able to understand the perplexities of life and to be able to understand the answers that you need in order to be able to make it through those despairing times. The Word of God is that which can encourage you during the down times. There's not a lonely day in your life that the Word of God cannot be used in your life to be able to encourage you or to be able to comfort you during those times of loneliness and disparity in your life. And therefore, the Bible talks about how you and I ought to be very familiar with our sword. Let me give you some statements this morning. Statement number one, you need to have a sword. Now, by the way, don't get a dull sword. Get yourself a live, quickened sword. At our church, we make no apologies where we use the King James Bible. There's a reason why we call it a Bible and not a version. It's a sharp sword. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is sharp. It's a two-edged sword. The Bible talks about how it's piercing, how it is dividing, how the Word of God is used, if you would please, as that quickening instrument that brings life to the dead and that renews that which is deadness to bring it alive once again. The Word of God is the only thing this morning that can change your life forever. You can go to a counselor this morning and then they can only give you as much wisdom as they have learned underneath those of which they've been educated. But you can go to the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, and God, the one that created all that was, all that is, and all that ever will be, and you understand this morning that that Word of God can change you from the inside, no matter what your core problem is this morning, no matter what the distresses of life is that's captivating your mind this morning, the Word of God is that which can penetrate through all of that to be able to go down and meet the very intent it needed portions of your heart. The Bible talks about this morning how that word of God is important that you have. Everybody in here needs a Bible. Everybody in here needs a sword. My Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, it says, principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's no way that you'll be able to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil by going out and buying yourself a tank. There's no way that you'd be able to overcome it by going out and buying yourself some type of gun, whether it would be some gun that is automatic or self-sufficient where you take and you load it, you cock it, you shoot it, you load it, you cock it, you shoot it. There's no way that you can win by getting a missile, if you will, or by getting some type of other alternative to be able to grab that and to be able to wrestle that and to be able to shoot that or to be able to destroy that. You can't do it by any type of a thing that you grab, but that word of God that God gives you is something that could change everything about you. Here's what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, the Bible says, for it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The Bible says, but mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds. There's nobody that can pull down a stronghold like God. Person says, well, I've tried to give up this sinful habit. I've tried to develop this particular type of characteristic inside of my life. You cannot do that apart from God. And the word of God is the tool that can help us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, it says to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. It says, than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and is of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so the word of God is powerful. Today, without the word of God, you are defenseless. Without the word of God this morning, you are powerless. Without the word of God this morning, you are a sitting duck. Without the word of God this morning, you will face uncertain defeat. Without the word of God this morning, I'm saying in a book of, listen to it, Psalm 19 in verse 7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are pure and righteous altogether. And so the Bible teaches that that word of God is something that we need to possess. I came up in a home where the word of God was not used. I came up in a home where the word of God was not welcome. I came up in a home and being raised in as a Catholic young man, we were told by the priest that was at St. Bartholomew's that you could not properly understand the Bible, and it needs, if you would please, a private or personal interpretation, and only us can be able to interpret that for you. So there's no sense in you owning one. So we never owned a Bible. Oh, we had what you would call a family Bible that sat on the table, but we dare not open it. We dare not read it. And I remember July 24th, 1979, 8:35 at night, Reese's Carnival Ground in Westminster, Maryland, when David Lee stopped me and gave me a clear presentation of the gospel. And that night, as an 18-year-old boy, when that 16-year-old boy talked to me, I bowed my heart, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and then God placed a hunger in my thirst for righteousness. There was a hunger and thirsting after righteousness as taught in the book of Matthew that God placed inside of me as a new believer. And I wanted to read the Bible. My only problem was I didn't own a Bible and I didn't want to be offensive to my parents. Because we were taught very strictly that you should not have one that you use because only the priest could give an interpretation. So I didn't know what to do. I mean, I wanted a Bible. So I began to pray. And I began to pray that God would give me a Bible. And not long after that, God gave me a brown Scofield Bible. It's one of the smaller editions, if you would. And boy, you know, I began to read that brown Scofield Bible. I didn't want to be offensive. And so at night, I'd go in the bathroom and I locked the door. It was the only door in our house other than the doors that led outside that had a lock on it. And so I didn't want to be offensive to my brothers. I didn't want to be offensive to my parents. I loved my parents deeply. But I did not want to just be somebody that would languish and perish without the Word of God. And so I'd go into the bathroom and I'd lock that door and I would stay in the bathroom and my mother, bless her heart, would come knock on that door and she'd say, "You okay in there?" And I'd say, "Yes, ma'am, I'm okay." And I'd come out and I'd bring that Bible and I'd tuck it in. I'd go and hide it in my bedroom. And I remember reading that Bible and as I begin to grow, and the more I begin to grow, the more I begin to get a burden for my parents. Because I realized that my parents were not saved. I realized that my parents needed Christ just like I needed Christ. And I realized that my friends needed Christ. I realized that the teachers that was in my public school, they needed Christ. And so God began to use that Bible inside of my life. But may I tell you, if I never would have had a Bible, God never could have used that Bible. But it's because I had a Bible and God began to use that inside of my life. And God, look, it is not your clothes this morning that's going to give you spiritual victory. It is the Word of God. It is not the ownership of the possessions that you have inside of your life this morning that is going to change your life, my dear friend. It is the Word of God. It is not how much money you have in the bank, nor how many intellectual degrees that you have hanging on your wall. It's not how you know how to use your iPhone or your iPad or your iMac or your iWhatever. I'm saying that it is that which is the Word of God that would change your life forever. We ought to die. Before you spend so much time, and I know this to be true. I know that people spend more time doing other things than they do with that Bible. And many times it's almost like they don't own a Bible. May I say the first step is to simply own a Bible. If you don't have a Bible this morning, go by the bookstore and get yourself a Bible. I remember when God gave me that Bible, boy, I was so happy. I mean, I was just thrilled. I remember the story behind it. I was raised by some old-fashioned Methodists on a 280-acre farm. And they never witnessed to me. I still don't exactly understand all of the ramifications behind that. But they did pray at the meal. And they did talk to me about the things of God. But they never gave me a clear presentation of the gospel. I just didn't understand how to be saved. But I remember coming up on that farm and as a young man, and I remember coming up on that farm and I would watch them pray. And of course, I was curious about that. And I would watch them do certain other things that Christians would do. And I was kind of curious about that. And I really do believe if somebody would have came by and talked to me at the age of 8, I probably would have bowed my heart and received Christ. I think if somebody would have given me the gospel at the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, or 17, I probably would have bowed my heart and received Christ. But somebody did come by, and I'm very thankful about that, and gave me the gospel at the age of 18. And when he did give me the gospel at the age of 18, I bowed my heart and I received Christ. When I first started praying for that Bible, the lady that raised me by the name of Myrtle Wagner had already gone home to be with the Lord. Now, these were very wealthy people. And I remember when she went home to be with the Lord, I don't know, I was about 11 or 12 or so, and I remember they said that my name was written in the will. You know, and I knew that, I mean, I grew up around them, and they raised me the first 6 years of my life, and I thought, wow, they're going to give me the farm. You know, I'm 11 or 12 years of age, and I'm going to inherit 280 acres. How this is going to be great. I thought, man. And I went for the reading of the will, and in the reading of the will, here's what it said. It said this: "We have a special gift for you, but you're not ready for it yet." Well, how disappointing. I mean, I thought I was going to walk away with the farm, and I walked away with nothing. I thought, how disappointing is this? Now, that's the mind of an 11-year-old. That's the mind of a 12-year-old. But I never will forget what happened the day I got saved. When I got saved, I contacted Lottie, who was still living. That was Myrtle's sister. And I contacted Lottie, who was still living. And I said, "Lottie, I want you to know that today I received Christ as Savior." She said, "Well, you know, Myrtle left you something in the will. And you'll like what she left you in the will." What she left me in the will was that brown Scofield Bible. And then the flyleaf of that Bible is a little note from Myrtle that basically said this: I knew that one day you would get saved, and I wanted to be the first one to give you a Bible. Now, she'd been praying for me to get saved for many, many years before she had went on to be with the Lord. Now, may I say, listen, I cherish that Bible. I still got that Bible in my personal possessions today, and it's all, the pages are falling out, and the leather is all hard, and if you open it up, it's very, very brittle, and it's not because I'm that old. But, you know, I still have that Bible today, and I cherish that Bible. I look at that Bible and I remember that there was a lady that had set that thing back for years because she thought that one day I was going to be saved. Now, may I say this? I say that everybody needs a sword. You ought to have a sword. Many times in our academy chapels, we have two academies here at Parkside Baptist Church. We have Parkside Baptist Academy and we have Champion Baptist Academy. Parkside Baptist Academy is for those that have children and they attend our church and they put them in the academy. And then we have Champion Baptist Academy for those that ride our buses and their parents want them to come to a Christian school, but they can't afford it. And so we that are members of the church sacrificially give so that these teenagers can come to Champion Baptist Academy and receive a wholesome Christian education. Many times when I'm preaching in that academy chapel where both those academies come together, we have what we call a sword drill. And they hold up their Bible by the binder, and I say, on your mark, get set, go. After I read the scripture, and the first one to turn to it and stand up and read a portion of that scripture is the person that we applaud, or the person that wins, or the person that earns a certain type of reward, or something like that. And what is that? That is teaching a young person the importance of the Bible. May I say, statement number one, you need to have a sword. Statement number two, you need to know your sword. Know your sword. No, we have a sword. If you walk into, we live in Forney, and if you walk in, we have a nice sized house, and in we have a private bedroom, a master bedroom, and adjourned to the master bedroom is a very nice bathroom that you can walk in, and on the other side of the bathroom is a huge closet. And so you can walk in through the bathroom, walk into the closet. If you look down to the right, there's this huge sword. The sword is a family sword. It has the family emblem on it. My great-great-great-grandparents came from Ireland many years ago, and they brought that with them. All right, now, wait a minute. And that's been passed down generation after generation after generation. And you walk inside that closet, and there it sits right there leaning against the wall. Now, wait a minute. That was something that was passed down. That was something that is sacred to us. That is something that one of my boys or my daughter is going to get when Mrs. Wells and I go home to be with the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Now, I say this. I say that there's a need to know your sword. There's a certain way to pick up a sword. There's a certain way to carry a sword. There's a certain way to love or embrace a sword, where the sword becomes a part of the whole person. And in, relatedly, talking to the Bible, that Bible needs to be a part of your everyday fabric, a part of your everyday life. Know that sword. One of the reasons that we have Sunday school is for you to know the sword. One of the reasons that we have preaching on Sunday morning, preaching on Sunday night, or Bible study on Wednesday night is for you to be able to become more acquainted with that sword that you have. Here's what it says. The book of Mark chapter 12 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Do you not err? It says, do you not therefore err? It says, because ye have known not the scriptures, neither the power of God." Here's what Jesus says. He says, a people have erred because they don't know the scriptures. What a shame today to walk into households and you see a Bible that is crest on the table only to be surrounded by that which is dust and to be covered by that which is other things that are placed upon the Bible simply because somebody is not valuing the reading of that Bible. What a shame it is to be able to see that there's a Bible that's laying on the dashboard, that's been laying on the dashboard for such a long time that the back is actually curled up from being baked in the sun, and you know that they've not been reading it. What a shame it is to see somebody come into church and not even being able to carry a Bible, even to church, because they don't possess one of their own. What a shame it is to be able to sit and beside someone and them not have a Bible. And I thank God for our church. Boy, by the way, if you need a Bible and you just don't have the funds to be able to get that Bible, if you see Brother Palmore, we'll make sure that we'll help you be able to get a Bible. But it's so important for us to understand that you have a Bible and you know that Bible. It's one thing to own a gun. It's another thing to learn how to click the safety on and off of that gun. It's one thing to be able to load the gun and knowing how to do that in a safe mannerism. It's one thing to own a gun. It's another thing to learn how to point the gun. In our house, we have many guns. And I, when I was coming up as a boy, I used to love hunting. Boy, I love hunting. Had a dog by the name of Blackie. You wonder what color it was? I mean, I was very, you know, intelligent in name. And so I had a dog by the name of Blackie. I'd take Blackie out. Man, I'd go out in the woods, and for 3 or 4 days, I'd have my sleeping bag. I'd have cans of beans. I'd have jerky. I'd have a shotgun and a long gun, and I'd go out in the woods, and I'd just go hunting. I'd kill a squirrel and clean that thing and cook that thing over the fire. And boy, I just had fun just staying out in the woods. All right. Now, wait a minute. And then I got called to preach, went to Bible college, and later God called me to preach. And when I went to Bible college, I didn't have any money, like most of our Bible college students here. They don't have any money. And so when I went to Bible college, I sold all my guns. And I told the Lord after I graduated from Bible college, I said, look, I'm not going to buy a gun anymore. I'm not going to get back into it. I did it all my young years. That was enough. And so I'm not going to get back into it anymore. I'm going to give myself to the service of you. But I said, God, if every so often you want to give me a gun, I just want you to know I'll take it. And I started traveling as an evangelist, and people started finding out, Dr. Combes, that I like guns. And I'd travel, and certain people would find out I like guns, and so they would give me a gun. Now I've got a closet full of guns. Didn't buy one of them, but I got a closet full of guns. I've often said if somebody breaks in my house and they try and rob my house, I believe they're unholy and I can make sure they leave holy. But I have a closet full of guns. Now, wait, watch this, if you will. I'm very familiar. I've taught my family how to shoot. Every single one of my family know they know how to handle a gun. And they know how to shoot that gun. Now, wait a minute, though, but they know how to put the safety on, they know how to take the safety off, they know all the procedures of being able to hold the gun, they know where to point it, where not to point it, they know how to ease the trigger, they know everything about being able to handle such a delicate type of instrument or tool such as it is. And may I say, it is important that you know how to handle your sword. That sword I've got sitting in that closet is very old. It's a very old sword. It's been around for generations upon generations. By the way, it's kind of brittle around the handle. You know, it's the old original wooden handle. And so it's kind of brittle around the handle. You know, if you were to pick that thing up and you go to swing that thing, probably the handle's going to fall off. It's just kind of brittle. You know, sometimes you have to be very, very tender of how you pick up your sword. You know, that Bible, some of us own old Bibles. I've had this Bible here for, many, many years. It's got an old fabricated leather binder on it, and it's falling apart. I've got pages loose. But, you know, I don't want to change out Bibles. It's like wearing a pair of shoes, you know. You used to wear no shoes, and all of a sudden you get holes in the shoes, but they sure are comfortable. It's probably the only holy part that you could say is a part of you. But it sure is holy, amen. It feels good. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible teaches. We ought to be able to have that sword, ought to be able to know that sword. Know that sword from cover to cover. Know everything about that sword. Now, why is that important? Here's what the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, it says, I have rejected thee. Listen to what it says now. Thou shalt no more, it says, be a priest unto me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of the Lord, I will also forget thy children. He says, look, I'll tell you what, if you don't want your children to be forgotten, don't forsake his law. Don't forget his law. If you fail to teach your children the principles of the word of God, which sustains a person, protects a person, and helps a person make wise decisions, what you're doing is you're destroying your children's future. Don't destroy. Look, before your child needs a math class, your child needs a church class. Say amen.
Hey, before they ought to be excited about a basketball game, they ought to be excited about the preaching service. Before they get excited about other things, hey, let the word of the Lord be true, and let the people that are the people of God, where the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, you be excited about the things of God. Why? Because that word of God, that's the only hope that you've got, that would give you wisdom about your finances, wisdom about your relationships, wisdom about the right decisions in life, wisdom about trying to have that child rearing time when your children are little and going into the middle growth spurts. I'm saying that that word of God can change you forever, but you have to decide that you're not just going to own it, but you're going to know that word of God. As you know that word of God, you'll find out that you love reading it. It's like finding a gold nugget. As you're reading your Bible, how many times have you read it all the way through, and then you look at it and you say, well, I've never seen that before. You read it through again, you say, well, I've never seen that before. But you know God hadn't switched around the verses. You know the verses has been on the same page in the same place as it was when you picked it up the 45 other times. But because you're reading it and the Holy Spirit has been growing you at different areas in your life, now that word means more to you. Now that word gives you more light. And so the Bible talks about that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now I just believe this with all my heart, that church is important. Where the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, that's talking about the assembling of the believers together. Oh, come on. You say, well, I want to do good, so I've got to take some financial classes, okay? Then that's how you're going to take and learn about finances and your financial world and how to make financial right decisions. That's important. You say, I want to become more educated in technology, and so I'm going to take some tech courses. That's important. Well, preacher, I tell you what, I want to learn more about mechanics, and so I'm going to take some classes about some of the new mechanical things that's happening in the mechanical world. That is important. Well, preacher, I tell you what, I want to learn some things, if you will, about being able to invest and being able, if you will, please, to be up on the latest surgical procedures as a doctor. That's important. You're a dentist and you say, I want to be able to take and learn more things about dental procedures, and that's important. But may I say, nothing is more important this morning than the word of God. Listen, when we come to church and the preacher gets up and the preacher is telling you something about, hey, this is not something preacher thought up. This is not something that preacher just decided it's a good thing to know. This is a life-changing book. Church is more important than going to some racing type of thing this morning. It's more important than staying home and watching television this morning. Hey, church is a place where you ought to decide you're going to plug in, you're going to be there, you're going to do what you know is right. Why? It'll salvage you. It'll salvage your family. Let's get back to old-fashioned religion. Let's get back to church. Why? Because that's where the word of God will help to change your life. I'm saying this morning that as we understand that word of God, by the way, can you quote all 66 books of the Bible? Is it that important to you? May I ask you a question this morning? Do you even know the basics of the Bible? If I named a person in the Bible, could you tell me about them? Could you tell me in general what their life was about? In all of our Sunday school classes this morning, we had a Sunday school lesson on the Ten Commandments. Could you name the Ten Commandments? That's why in Sunday school, our teachers prepare like they prepare to be able to become, help us become more familiar with the Word of God. We don't have Sunday school just for fellowship. You can do that at Starbucks. Church is a place for church. Church is a place to become grounded in the truths of the Word of God. Wait a minute. Listen, do you know those Ten Commandments? Do you know the 12 tribes of Israel? Do you know the 10 plagues of Egypt? Do you know who the 12 apostles are? Do you know who the seven churches of Revelation is or are? Do you know that? See, what we understand is this. We understand that some people know more about Hollywood than they know about the Holy Word. You know, some people know more about the survivors, the American idols, the biggest losers, than they know about the Old Testament prophets? Now, by the way, you say, well, I just got saved, and I realize this morning our church is growing. I thank God for every single one of you, and many of you has received Christ over the past couple months or year, and you're coming to church, and you're growing. Hey, I'm not saying, oh, boy, a shame on you. Hey, you're like I was. You grow as you have the privilege to be able to grow. That's great. And you have to walk before you can run. You have to learn to stand. You have to learn to go forward. And that's what our church is about. That's what the adult discipleship training program is about on Sunday night. That's what our Sunday school programs are about on Sunday morning. That's what our Wednesday night Bible study is about. Hey, if you want to grow, I'm telling you, you're at the right place. If you want to grow and you're serious about that, hey, plug in. Don't just be one of these people. It's half in and half out. But be one of these people that put both feet in and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to get to a place where God can teach me all of the Word of God. And you become very familiar with the Word of God as the way God gave it in the Bible. Did you know? The Bible says in Psalm 119 in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. So the Word of God can cleanse you. The Word of God can help you to overcome guilt. The Word of God can help you from within all the way out. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You know what that means? That means the Word of God should be involved in your decision-making process. It's a lamp, the Bible says, unto your feet. It's a light unto your path. You cannot and should not make a decision based on your own emotional makeup or will. You should make a decision based on the facts, the principles of the Word of God. You say, well, I don't know, preacher, I just don't know that Word of God that well. Then you get with your Sunday school teacher. Then you get with an assistant pastor. Then you get with the preacher and say, preacher, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. Would you give me some guidance on what the Bible says to do? Over in Psalm 119 and verse 11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So the Word of God can help you in your life not to sin. Listen to it. John chapter 15 and verse 7, the Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So here's what he says. He says that the Word of God is the key to getting prayer answered. He said, if you abide in me, he said, I will abide in you. Then if you ask what you will, he says, it'll be done. So one of the keys of getting your prayers answered is knowing how to pray. How do we do that? We have an instructional manual that's called the Bible. Right. See, I love this. At Parkside Baptist Church, when you come to Parkside Baptist Church, I promise you this. I promise you, you get Bible. You get Bible in Sunday school. You get Bible in preaching. I'm not going to get up here, read one verse, and tell you a bunch of stories. That's not going to happen. You're not going to have a preacher that's going to get up here and read two verses, and the rest is funny little stories of what happened during the week. It's not happening that way. Why? Because the Word of God is what changes your life. The Word of God is what will work inside of you. And you let that Word of God, I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care where you came from this morning. I don't care what your background is this morning. God's Word can change you on the inside. And before you know it, you'll be living like God, walking like God wants you to walk, obeying the way that God wants you to obey. And you'll be living a happy life, not because you are who you say you are, but because the living God has a work going on inside of your life. Now, I say this morning, statement number one, you need to have a sword. Statement number two, you need to know your sword. Statement number three, and I'm done, you need to use your sword. It's one thing to have it. It's another thing to know it. It's another thing to use it. We had a Lone Star Baptist College. We call it the Lone Star Baptist College Preachers Fellowship. Every year, it used to be, the first 2 years, we had it in my house. And Lone Star Baptist College, young people would come over to the house about this time of year, and it was on a Sunday night, and they'd come over, and we'd just fellowship together. We'd have board games set up all over the place, and Mrs. Wells and I, we would get another staff person, their wife, but our college has grown so much that we just can't put them all in the house. And plus, we wouldn't have enough food. And so we had a member in the church that partnered with me, and we rented out a portion for our group. It's called the Sky Ranch over in Van, Texas. And so we loaded up a bus and had a couple of cars following us over. And so we spent time together traveling over to Van, Texas. Huge ranch. And the Lord provided for us to be able to do that. And we enjoyed every minute of it. I mean, on the way over, we had all sorts of games that was going on, and singing and testifying and stuff like that. And it made the trip very, very short. And we got over there and we pulled into the ranch and got checked in. And then they had the privilege to do all sorts of stuff. I mean, what was that thing you got on? The zip lining. Brother Palmer got on the zip line and he zipped down the line. And man, all sorts of stuff. I mean, they had putt-putt golfing, and they had this, what they call the pillow, where you get on it, it's full of air, and you could put about 50 people on it once or whatever, and we saw people down there jump on it, and they had a maze, a human maze that was made of wood, and you walk around there and get lost, and then show up late for supper, and volleyball inside courts, and volleyball outside courts, and they had horseback riding trails, and canoes, and all of that, and by the way, then we got, at the end, we had the white elephant gift exchange, and boy, our college kids loved that, and it was just a time of spending time together. You know what brought us together? What brought us together is the common cord of Christ. On the way back, I said, hey, let's do something special. You know, you're in college, and some of you have come from different states around the nation, and you come to our college, and we thank God for you, but you know, not everybody knows your heart. Let's take some prayer requests. And boy, some were praying about this and some were praying about that. And you know what that did? That brought our college and our faculty together very, very close. Because they're able to hear the prayer requests of others. Now, what is that? I'll tell you what that is. That was a time of being able to use what God gave us. See, the Bible talks about using that word of God. And may I say, God gave you that word of God. Here's what it says over in Luke chapter 22 and in verse 38. The Bible says, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. Now, this is in the upper room, by the way. Here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. A little bit later, they find themselves in the garden. You remember the story? Luke chapter 22 and in verse 50, the Bible says, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Of course, we know that was Peter. Peter, very impetuous. Peter many times would do things and then he would regret doing them. But at this time in his life, we know two things about Peter. We know he had a sword and we know he used a sword. Now, we don't know how well he knew how to use the sword. He might have been aiming to cut the neck off and he just hit the ear. We have no idea. But we do know this. We know that he had a sword and we know that he used a sword. And may I say, because he had the sword, he used the sword. Because he used the sword, something happened. Whenever you use the sword that God gave you, it doesn't matter how well you are and how well versed you are in using your sword. But every time you use your sword, something's going to happen. Every time you come to Sunday school and somebody uses that sword in your life, something's going to happen. Every time you come to, look, here's what you ought to do. What you ought to do is when you get ready to come to preaching tonight, get that excitability up. Boy, I can't wait to go to preaching. Boy, preaching. Wow, preaching is going to be good tonight. I can't wait. Boy, it's only 4 o'clock, but 6 o'clock is coming. Oh, I can't wait. I just can't wait. Boy, it's only 5 o'clock, but I can't wait. 6 o'clock's coming. Ooh, 6 o'clock is coming. Preaching time is at 6. Oh, it's only 5:30. I wish the time would hurry up and go because I want to get there tonight. 6 o'clock, it's coming. I got to get there. Oh, I'm going to get there early, and so I forget waiting till 6. I'm going to show up at about 20 till 6. Honey, let's go. Get the kids. We got to get there. Want to get a good seat. Don't want to be left sitting towards the back or sitting out in the vestibule area or in the lobby area. And I know preacher don't want to sit out there in those chairs outside the bookstore lobby that we're supposed to be in preaching. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be in preaching, and so let's get there kind of early. And you get here kind of early in the choir. Singing, boy, what's that do? That prepares your heart. Come on. choir's up there singing, and you know, you don't even pay attention. Brother Palmore's correcting them and instructing them because they just hit five notes in a row wrong. You say, "Well, that was great." Come on. And you can't wait. Preacher gets up and you got a friend with you. And you say, "Hey, that's him. That's a guy. Who is he?" He's that preacher. That's the guy. You know, that's the man. Yeah, just the other day, I forget who came up to me, and they were introducing me to, you remember that? Somebody came up to me, and they said, "Hey, that's the guy." I stand in the hallway, and they're, "That's the guy." And they said, "Well, who's the guy?" So, well, you know, that's the guy that's the, you know, he's the one. "Well, he's the one what?" "Well, he speaks here. That's the guy." Now, they didn't know who I was, but they knew I spoke here. That's a good thing. Now wait, watch this, if you will. And so you get that excitement. By the way, you get excited. The other day, we had family vacation, and we restructured a vacation time because we're working so much, and we're trying to restructure it so that it doesn't take away from any of the ministries here, but at the same time, we're able to get away and do a little bit of family time. And so we went over to Tyler, and we rode some horses, and the last day, we went down to the Six Flags. They have their called Christmas in the Park or whatever, and you don't have to put up with a lot of the junk that's there. And so we went to the Christmas in the Park, and they had Brother Combes in Texas now. They had this in Indiana. They have this where you're from. This is Texas. They had the snow hill, Brother Wilson, in Texas. It was 70 degrees that night. And we're sliding down a hill. My wife got on this sled over here, and I got on this other sled. And I told there was a person going to push me off. And I said, wait a minute, that's my wife over there. I got to beat my wife. I said, "So whatever you do, you got a little body. I got a big body." I said, "You push me extra hard so I can get down there." And man, they did. I mean, they pushed me hard. Man, I'm going down, you know, and this guy sees me coming. His eyes are getting big, like, how do I stop the big guy? You know, and he grabbed the front of that thing, and he jerked me around, and my body almost went flying over to get on another ride. I mean, you know, I'm saying that learn to use what God gives you. God's only given you one life. God has only given you time to be able to read that Bible, and you use that. We got excited about that ride, just standing in line. I was like a little kid. Well, I was like a little kid that was smart. All the other ones were getting the sleds, still had water dripping off of them. I said, "No, I want a dry one." I said, "Go ahead and wipe mine off." And they said, "Well, you're going to get wet anyway." I said, "I'm going to start out the way. I'll wipe it off." And so they wiped it off, and the guy says, "Is that good?" I said, "Man, you did good. You did good." I got on there, and I was wet by the time I got there. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that you've got the ability to be able to do some things. Do those things for Christ. Only one life that you have. That's it. Make that life count for Christ. Let me give you just one more thought, and I'm done. I said that you have a sword. You ought to know your sword. You ought to use your sword. Now listen to this. I'm done. Never lay it down. Just never lay it down. Let it be a part of your life. Center your life around the Word of God. One more verse. Here it is, and I'm done. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not," listen to it now, "profit them." It says, "not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." He said the same word was preached to both. One profited, the other did not. You know why? One said, "Hey, I see it. I'm going to do it." It was mixed with faith. It was mixed with faith. I remember traveling and hearing some of the great preachers of yesteryear. And as a young preacher, I'd sit there and boy, they'd preach. And I'd say, "Yes, God can do that." And it was mixed with faith. I had some friends that would travel with me, and they wouldn't talk about the sermon when we went out to eat or whatever. They'd talk about other things. And to me, it was like, "Man, you know, did you hear that message? Boy, that was great. Can you imagine what God can do with that? Oh, wouldn't you like to be used one day like that?" See, the difference was it was mixed with Faith. See, when you come to church, this is a powerful, powerful book. Bring it with you. Read it. Read it at home. Think about it. Let God speak to your heart. Carry it with you. Hello. Allow it to be a part of your life. Learn to use it. Learn to use it.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.